That's a Baltimore Oriole, courtesy of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. We check in with a municipal conservancy of more than 350 acres in Kakana on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I keep an eye out for those Baltimore Orioles at my local Owen Conservancy, traditionally around Mother's Day, maybe appearing in areas around our state. That's a tip from Birdwatchers Digest on Wisconsin birding in spring. Join in on the birds you're seeing, concerns about habitat, what to do about your feeder, songbirds, 800-642-1234. Debbie Nowak is director and a naturalist at Thousand Islands Environmental Center. Debbie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, good morning. Let's start with avian flu that is spreading among wild birds and poultry around the country. The USDA tracking that 26 documented cases in Wisconsin among wild bird populations. I'm wondering how you see affecting flocks in your area or what you're looking out for.
Sure. So that definitely has been a hot topic. We've been answering a lot of questions about that here at the Nature Center. We have not directly seen a lot of impact from that. If you can actually go on to the USDA's website and they'll show a map of what's been found that has had the avian bird flu. So we have had instances throughout our area. I'm locally in Outagamie County here, so there have been reports of it in Outagamie County, all of our surrounding counties. So it's out there, but we're certainly not seeing any, you know, big masses of dead birds at all. Here, we're really trying to figure out what the effect is going to have in the long term. You know, we're seeing a lot of ducks, water birds, shorebirds. Those are the kind of the prime species that are being affected. But then, as you know, anybody who's familiar with ecology know everything's always connected. So with these animals or these birds part of the food chain, how is it affecting the animals that are feeding on those birds? Mm-hmm. Our bald eagles, the potentially pelicans. We even have, you know, the scavengers, the crows are starting to become affected as well. So we're keeping a close eye on that.
What can people do to protect this very interconnected web, this ecosystem?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things is to just be some eyes and ears on the ground. The DNR is pretty on top of this, studying, collecting dead animals that fit that, you know, correct description of possibly avian influenza. But they're not everywhere and they can't be out all the time. So if citizens see dead or sick looking birds that are in that group. So once again, we're talking waterfowl, including ducks and geese, water birds and shorebirds. To really contact the DNR, there is actually a hotline that people can call, an email address that they can send a report into. The DNR is coming out and collecting dead birds so that they can test it, and also just to get it out of that food chain so we don't have our scavengers feeding on it as well. So that's one of those biggest things, is to just help track what's going on out there and report that in.
What would you tell people about backyard bird feeders in these times?
Yeah, so that's been another a hot topic as well. Here at Thousand Islands, we are just stressing the information that's coming out of the experts, especially the DNR. And right now, there has been no indication that this disease is prevalent in our songbird populations. So we are not recommending anybody take down backyard bird feeders. It's migration, so we're still hoping you're supporting those migratory birds the best you can. The only exception of that is if your feeder is in a location where you do commonly get ducks and turkeys congregating, that would be an instance that maybe you want to take them down just to prevent, you know, this is a communicable disease, so we want to try to prevent it spreading in groups.
Oh, and I'm just thinking of those turkeys that hold court around our area. Mm-hmm. They go anywhere and everywhere, and it's on their terms.
Absolutely. They are a little bit of the bullies of the neighborhood, aren't they?
Debbie Nowak with us, director and a naturalist at a conservancy of more than 350 acres in Kakana. She's at Thousand Islands Environmental Center. Talking about birds, 800-642-1234. You can join in. Debbie, you're on the banks of the Fox River. Tell us about what you're seeing now.
Oh, we are just, everything changes every day. We're kind of an explosion of spring right now. So we are really getting into migration. We had someone come do an eBird report, so going out birding on the property, and then they kind of report in as citizen science what they saw. In one day alone, they spotted 52 different bird species. So we have a lot of ducks migrating through. We are starting to see warblers coming through. So it is a flurry of activity when it comes to birds, spotting our first gosling group of the season. Haven't seen ducklings yet, but the goslings are out. And one of my absolute favorites, every day I walk the trail, I see new spring wildflowers blooming. So it's been a long, dreary winter, but we're starting to see some excitement here.
Oh, I love it too. And certainly having the birds near the Fox River, that too has such an important piece of their landscape. Can you explain a little bit what your refuge looks like and these trails that you go on?
Sure. So as you mentioned, we're a 350-acre conservancy zone right outside of downtown Kaukauna. So it's an urban nature center. And we are right along the Fox River. So the Fox River is the backbone of our habitat. It provides water source, food source. We get our name Thousand Islands because there are a number of island structures out in the river at this point as well. So it provides a nice refuge for eagles and deer and all sorts of animals to have just that safe space to get through their life and their lifestyle. People can come down. We are actually open to the public 365 days a year to access the property. And we have trails of all interests and abilities. So it starts off, we actually have some barrier-free boardwalk right along the Fox River. So you are walking right along and in some cases right over the water, just immersing yourself in that habitat. We have natural surface trails. We have a blacktop trail. Brand new in just the past couple of years, we have our Nelson Overlook. So people that aren't capable of walking out on the trail can pull over into our Overlook parking lot, and we have an accessible viewing deck. We have a lower viewing deck as well with a spotting scope that people can use to give a great panoramic view of the river. So we always say there's something for everybody here, and there's something for all seasons.
How has the pandemic, do you think, affected how people interface with Thousands Islands Environmental Center? I mean, do you feel like you're getting more crowds or that people are seeing what you do and have there differently?
I think the pandemic really was an eye-opener for the general public on the benefits of having natural areas like Thousand Islands. We were inundated with visitors, especially during Safer at Home. Our parking lot was full, our trails were crowded. So it really was, although there were a lot of negatives to the pandemic, it was a great positive for people to reconnect with nature. It is such a stress reliever, a mood booster, physical activity. So it was a great eye-opener. Hopefully people remember that as we all get back to our busy, overscheduled lives, that they can still come back and just de-stress and recenter themselves by a quick visit to a nature area.
We're checking in with Debbie Nowak on birding and conservation. She directs Thousand Islands Environmental Center in Kaukauna along the Fox River in southeastern Outagamie County. Designated a bird city, by the way. Join in on birding, on conservation, what you're seeing at your feeder, concerns about avian flu, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Debbie Nowak here on the Ideas Network. Don't you wish you could translate Barn Swallow? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. That was captured by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. We're discussing birds along the Fox River at Thousand Islands Environmental Center. Debbie Nowak, director and naturalist, stays with us. You can join in on birds, what you're spotting, where you go to birdwatch around the state, and how you get to where you need to go on the trails to really see and capture nature. 800-642-1234. Debbie with us for about 10 more minutes. So Debbie, you know, Kaukauna being a Bird City, Wisconsin program, what does that mean for the work you do at the center?
So Thousand Islands is a huge part of our Bird City credentials. In order to participate as a Bird City or apply as a Bird City, you do have to have a number of acres that are set aside as conservation area, natural habitat for birds. So our conservancy zone meets that. We are also a big part of the educational push. Every year we have a bird event, that is our Eagle Days event that's held in January, and we celebrate World Migratory Bird Day, which is actually coming up on May 14th. Just kind of spreading the word on how people can become more bird friendly in their everyday lives and in their backyards, and ways to support migratory birds throughout the year.
You mentioned eagles there, and some birds are rebounding in population in the state, like the bald eagle, the snowy owl, another example. What is contributing to their recent successes?
So habitat is really one of those main key components towards, you know, birds surviving and thriving. So for bald eagles, there has been a lot of effort in the previous decades cleaning up especially our river habitats. So now these eagles are able to find ample food sources, clean food sources, and they are able to thrive because of that. Here in the Fox Valley, we have over 24 nests throughout the Fox Valley area right along the river. It's just fantastic to see them doing well. And once again, it's a sign that we are making better choices. We're putting in proper protections for our wild bird populations, and we're cleaning up the habitat that they live in.
We are also being affected by climate change. How does that affect the bird populations of your region?
You know, that is being, you know, studied ongoing. But what we're starting to see is you can see actually a difference in migrations, the times that they're migrating, the food that's available as they're migrating, you know, storms that they're impacting throughout that migration is a direct effect from climate change and causing a lot more bird mortality. So climate change affects everything in our lives in just a multitude of ways.
I would imagine 350 acres is a lot to maintain for the conservancy. How do you go about that with staffing, and how do you keep it up?
It is an ongoing battle for sure. We get up every day just excited to do the best that we can with the resources that we have. 350 acres obviously is a lot to maintain. Here at Thousand Islands, we have only one full-time staff member, so that would be my position. And then we operate with three half-time positions. So we do have a site manager that works very hard to try to maintain the property the best that he can, but he's at 20 hours a week. So we do rely heavily on volunteers, service groups, and as part of the City of Kaukauna, we also seek out assistance through the Public Works Department to try to accomplish what we can. But we're just like everybody in their tasks and their jobs, it seems like there's just never enough hours in the day to accomplish what we really need to.
Have you been able to receive any grants that could also help in this area?
We do receive grants from time to time. So we are just putting the finishing touches with some planting on that Nelson Overlook. That project was done through the generosity of the Nelson Family Fund. And so we can get small grants for stewardship projects, but it's all one big project. It takes time to write grants, to see through those grant requirements and then follow up. So we're always scrambling to find new sources of funding besides grants. Donations, endowments, bequests, those are all greatly helpful to us as well.
Do you continue to bring more land into the conservancy, or do you feel like it is at, an acreage that it will stay now for generations to come?
So we don't have any immediate plans at adding to the conservancy zone here, but we always have our eyes out for possibilities for expanding that conservancy zone. It just comes, you know, we just have to look to see what property is available near us and what the financial situation is to be able to expand. My personal opinion, you can never have too much conservancy zone. We really want to expand as much as feasibly possible.
talking with Debbie Nowak, who is director and a naturalist at a conservancy, more than 350 acres in Kakana, Thousand Islands. You can join in on birding, on conserving land, on the focus that you have in your area in, with birding, 800-642-1234. So Debbie, you mentioned eBirds before and kind of the citizen science approach to trying to track birds, count birds. And I'm wondering how important that is and how we can get involved in being more of an active bird watcher.
Yeah, I think citizen science projects are one of the best ways for the average person to become involved and have an impactful contribution towards conservation and our environment. So eBird is a very, very simple thing that anybody who enjoys birding can become part of. Simply, you're reporting in what birds you see, where you are, and the number of that species that you have. So that data helps us track bird populations. It helps us track migration patterns and migration timing. It helps, you know, put out some red flags if we see any drastic reduction in these bird populations. So again, once again, it's very easy to do. All you need is some basic understanding of how to identify birds, and there's a lot of apps and tools and ID books out there for you. And most citizen science projects also have experts in the background that are kind of scanning and looking through things to make sure there isn't anything off kilter. So, you know, if you don't feel confident in your bird ID, you can still report them, and someone might flag your bird saying, you know, this isn't a bird that's typically seen. Can you provide more detail on what you saw or, you know, what it was doing? So there are experts working behind the scenes to help you out with that. But no matter where your interest is in nature, there's probably a citizen science program for you. There are monarch citizen science programs. There, right now we're in the middle of our Bald Eagle Nest Watch, which is a citizen science program where volunteers are monitoring our eagle nests in the area and watching to see if they're laying eggs, if the eggs hatch, how many eaglets they have when they fledge. So it's really a great thing to get involved in. Anybody that is looking for citizen science opportunities, you can actually search that online or reach out to us here at Thousand Islands, and we'd be happy to try to connect you with something that suits your interests.
Well, with identification, I know that's where I kind of fall off. I really love observing birds, but I'm just not good in the identification area. And I'm wondering if you have any tips on that to help us become just better at knowing what we're seeing.
You know, one of the best things is to just get out there. The more you're out there, the more you're viewing, the more comfortable you become with your bird ID. But there are tools to help you out along the way. Believe it or not, there are CDs or playlists of bird calls. You can listen to it on your commute, and you start memorizing what the different types of birds sound like. So that is very helpful. Otherwise, there is a really great app. It's called Merlin. And you can put that on your smartphone, and it will help you with your bird ID. It kind of walks you through, you know, the size of the bird, the location of the bird. You can even record a bird call on your phone as you're out in the woods, and the app will help you identify it. So the good thing about birding in, you know, 2022 here is technology, and, you know, the tools are available for the average person to become an expert.
There's an app for that, even in birding.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what advice would you have for first-time birders who really would like to start being much more active in you know, observing birds in their area?
You know, a great way to become, you know, just get started with it, join a local birding club. There are birding clubs all throughout the state. And join them, show up at a meeting. They usually have group field trips, if you will, so where people just get together in a similar location and go out birding together. Finding that birding mentor, you know, hanging out with somebody that's a little bit more experienced, that is a wealth of information. Also, search your local nature centers. Many of them do offer nature hikes or birding trips. you know, birding 101 type programs that they will be able to kind of teach you the basics as well. So don't be afraid to get active and join other groups and learn from others along the way.
Debbie, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
Debbie Nowak is director and a naturalist at the Conservancy Thousand Islands Environmental Center in Kakana. Ahead this hour, we talk with the Milwaukee County District Attorney to learn how authorities are responding to a rise in homicides. You can join in. Rise in Crime, 800-642-1234. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.